The 16th Rose, the Hail Mary, Beauty. Even though there's nothing so great as the majesty of God, and nothing so low as man insofar as he is a sinner, Almighty God does not despise our poor prayers. On the contrary, he is pleased when we sing his praises. Saint Gabriel's greeting to Our Lady is one of the most beautiful hymns which we can possibly sing to the glory of the Most High. I will sing a new song to you. This new hymn, which David foretold was to be sung at the coming of the Messiah, is none other than the angelic salutation. There is an old hymn and a new hymn. The first is that which the Jews sang out of gratitude to God for creating them and maintaining them in existence, for delivering them from captivity and leading them safely through the Red Sea, for giving them manna to eat and for all his other blessings. The new hymn is that which Christians sing in thanksgiving for the graces of the Incarnation and the Redemption. As these marvels were brought about by the angelic salutation, so also do we repeat the same salutation to thank the Most Blessed Trinity for his immeasurable goodness to us. We praise God the Father because he so loved the world that he gave us his only Son as our Savior. We bless the Son because he deigned to leave heaven and come down upon earth, because he was made man and redeemed us. We glorify the Holy Spirit because he formed our Lord's pure body in Our Lady's womb, this body which was the victim of our sins. In this spirit of deep thankfulness, should we then always say the Hail Mary, making acts of faith, hope, love, and thanksgiving for the priceless gift of salvation. Although this new hymn is in praise of the Mother of God and is sung directly to her, nevertheless, it greatly glorifies the Most Blessed Trinity because any homage that we pay Our Lady returns inevitably to God, who is the cause of all her virtues and perfections. When we honor Our Lady, God the Father is glorified because we are honoring the most perfect of his creatures. God the Son is glorified because we are praising his most pure mother. And God the Holy Ghost is glorified because we are lost in admiration at the graces with which he has filled his spouse. When we praise and bless Our Lady by saying the angelic salutation, she always passes on these praises to Almighty God in the same way as she did when she was praised by Saint Elizabeth. The latter blessed her in her most elevated dignity as Mother of God, and Our Lady immediately returned these praises to God by her beautiful Magnificat. Just as the angelic salutation gives glory to the Blessed Trinity, it is also the very highest praise that we can give Our Lady. One day, when Saint Mechtilde was praying and was trying to think of some way in which she could express her love of the Blessed Mother better than she had done before, she fell into ecstasy. Our Lady appeared to her with the angelic salutation in flaming letters of gold upon her bosom and said to her, "My daughter, I want you to know that no one can please me more than by saying the salutation which the most adorable Trinity sent to me, and by which he raised me to the dignity of Mother of God." By the word Ave, which is the name of Eve or Eva, I learned that in his infinite power God had preserved me from all sin and its attendant misery which the first woman had been subject to. The name Mary, which means Lady of Light, shows that God has filled me with wisdom and light like a shining star to light up heaven and earth. The words full of grace remind me that the Holy Spirit has showered so many graces upon me that I am able to give these graces in abundance to those who ask for them through me as mediatrix. When people say, "The Lord is with thee," they renew the indescribable joy that was mine when the eternal Word became incarnate in my womb. When they say to me, "Blessed art thou among women," I praise Almighty God's divine mercy, which lifted me to this exalted plane of happiness. And at the words, "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus," the whole of heaven rejoices with me to see my Son, Jesus Christ, adored and glorified for having saved mankind. 17th Rose, the Hail Mary, Fruits. Blessed Ellen de la Roche, who was so deeply devoted to the Blessed Virgin, had many revelations from her, and we know that he confirmed the truth of these revelations by a solemn oath. Three of them stand out with special emphasis. The first, that if people fail to say the Hail Mary, the angelic salutation which has saved the world, out of carelessness, or because they are lukewarm, or because they hate it, this is a sign that they will probably and indeed shortly be condemned to eternal punishment. The second truth is that those who love this divine salutation bear the very special stamp of predestination. The third is that those to whom God has given the signal grace of loving Our Lady and of serving her out of love must take very great care to continue to love and serve her until the time when she shall have had them placed in heaven by her divine Son in the degree of glory which they have earned. The heretics, all of whom are children of the devil and clearly bear the sign of God's reprobation, have a horror of the Hail Mary. They still say the Our Father, but never the Hail Mary. They would rather wear a poisonous snake around their necks than wear a scapular or carry a rosary. Among Catholics, those who bear the marks of God's reprobation think but little of the rosary, whether that is 5 decades or 15. They either fail to say it, or only say it very quickly and in a lukewarm manner. Even if I did not believe that which has been revealed to Blessed Ellen de la Roche, even then my own experience would be enough to convince me of this terrible but consoling truth. I do not know, nor do I see clearly, how it can be that a devotion which seems to be so small can be the infallible sign of eternal salvation, and how its absence can be the sign of God's eternal displeasure. Nevertheless, nothing could possibly be more true. In our own day, we see that people who hold new doctrines that have been condemned by Holy Mother Church may have quite a bit of surface piety, but they scorn the rosary and often dissuade their acquaintances from saying it by destroying their love of it and their faith in it. In doing this, they make elaborate excuses which are plausible in the eyes of the world. They're very careful not to condemn the rosary and the scapular as the Calvinists do, but the way they set about attacking them is all the more deadly because it is the more cunning. I shall refer to it again later on. My Hail Mary, my rosary of 15 or of 5 decades, is the prayer and the infallible touchstone by which I can tell those who are led by the Spirit of God from those who are deceived by the devil. I've known souls who seem to soar like eagles to the heights by their sublime contemplation, and who yet were pitifully led astray by the devil. I only found out how wrong they were when I learned that they scorned the Hail Mary and the Rosary, which they considered as being far beneath them. The Hail Mary is as a blessed dew that falls from heaven upon the souls of the predestinate. It gives them a marvelous spiritual fertility so that they can grow in all virtues. The more the garden of the soul is watered by this prayer, the more enlightened one's intellect becomes, the more zealous his heart, and the stronger his armor against his spiritual enemies. The Hail Mary is a sharp and flaming shaft, which, joined to the Word of God, gives the preacher the strength to pierce, move, and convert the most hardened hearts, even if he has little or no natural gift for preaching. As I've already said, this was the great secret that Our Lady taught St. Dominic and Blessed Ellen, so that they might convert heretics and sinners. St. Antoninus tells us that this is why many priests got into the habit of saying a Hail Mary at the beginning of their sermons. 18th Rose, the Hail Mary, blessings. The heavenly salutation draws down upon us the blessings of Jesus and Mary in abundance, for it is an infallible truth that Jesus and Mary reward in a marvelous way those who glorify them. They repay us 100-fold for the praises that we give them. I love them that love me, that I may enrich them that love me and may fill their treasures. Jesus and Mary have always said, we love those who love us. We enrich them and fill their treasuries to overflowing. He who soweth in blessings shall also reap blessings. Now, if we say the Hail Mary properly, is not this a way to love, bless, and glorify Jesus and Mary? In each Hail Mary, we bless both Jesus and Mary. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. By each Hail Mary, we give Our Lady the same honor that God gave her when He sent the Archangel Gabriel to greet her for Him. How could anyone possibly think that Jesus and Mary, who often do good to those that curse them, could ever curse those that bless and honor them by the Hail Mary? Both St. Bernard and St. Bonaventure say that the Queen of Heaven is certainly no less grateful and conscientious than gracious and well-mannered people of this world. Just as she excels in all other perfections, she surpasses us all in the virtue of gratitude. So she would never let us honor her with love and respect without repaying us 100-fold. St. Bonaventure says that Mary will greet us with grace if we greet her with the Hail Mary. Who could possibly understand the graces and blessings which the greeting and tender regard of Our Lady effect in us? From the very first instant that St. Elizabeth heard the greeting that the Mother of God gave her, she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the child in her womb leapt for joy. If we make ourselves worthy of the greeting and the blessings of Our Lady, we shall certainly be filled with graces, and a flood of spiritual consolations will come down up into our souls. 19th Rose, Happy Exchange. It is written, give, and it shall be given unto you. To take Blessed Alan's illustration of this, supposing each day I gave you 150 diamonds, even if you were my enemy, would you not forgive me? Would you not treat me as a friend and give me all the graces that you were able to give? If you want to gain the riches of grace and of glory, salute the Blessed Virgin, honor your good mother. He that honoreth his mother, the Blessed Virgin, is as one that layeth up a treasure. So every day do give her at least 50 Hail Marys, for each one is worth 15 precious stones, and they please Our Lady far more than all the riches of this world put together. And you can expect such great things from her generosity. She's our mother and our friend. She's the Empress of the universe, and loves us more than all the mothers and queens of the world have ever loved any one human being. This is really so, for the charity of the Blessed Virgin far surpasses the natural love of all mankind and even of all the angels, as St. Augustine says. One day, St. Gertrude had a vision of our Lord counting gold coins. She summoned the courage to ask him what he was doing. He answered, I'm counting the Hail Marys that you've said. This is the money with which you can pay your way to heaven. The holy and learned Jesuit, Father Suarez, was so deeply aware of the value of the angelic salutation that he said that he would gladly give all his learning for the price of one Hail Mary that had been said properly. Blessed Alan de la Roche said, let everyone who loves you, O Most Holy Mary, listen to this and drink it in. Whenever I say Hail Mary, the court of heaven rejoices, and the earth is lost in wonderment, and I despise the world, and my heart is brimful of the love of God. When I say Hail Mary, all my fears wilt and die, and my passions are quelled. If I say Hail Mary, devotion grows within me, and sorrow for sin awakens when I say, Hail Mary. Hope is made strong in my breast, and the dew of consolation falls on my soul, more and more, because I say, Hail Mary. And my spirit rejoices, and sorrow fades away when I say, Hail Mary. For the sweetness of this blessed salutation is so great that there are no words to explain it adequately, and even when its wonders have been sung, we still find it so full of mystery and so profound that its depths can never be plumbed. It has but few words, but is exceedingly rich in mystery. It is sweeter than honey and more precious than gold. We should often meditate upon it in our hearts and have it ever upon our lips, so as to say it devoutly again and again. Blessed Alan says that a nun who had always had great devotion to the Holy Rosary appeared after death to one of her sisters in religion and said to her, If I were allowed to go back into my body to have the chance of saying just one single Hail Mary, even if I said it quickly and without great fervor, I would gladly go through the sufferings that I had during my last illness all over again in order to gain the merit of this prayer. This is all the more compelling because she had been bedridden and had suffered agonizing pains for several years before she died. Michel de Lisle, Bishop of Salubre, who was a disciple and co-worker of Blessed Alan's in the re-establishment of the Holy Rosary, said that the angelic salutation is the remedy for all ills that we suffer as long as we say it devoutly in honor of Our Lady. 20th Rose, the Hail Mary, Explanation. Are you in a miserable state of sin? Then call on the Divine Mary and say to her, Ave, which means I salute thee with the most profound respect, thou who art without sin, and she will deliver you from the evil of your sins. Are you groping in the darkness of ignorance and error? Go to Mary and say to her, Hail Mary, which means Hail thou who art bathed in the light of the Sun of Justice, and she will give you some of her light. Have you strayed from the path leading to heaven? Then call on Mary, for her name means Star of the Sea, the North Star which guides the ships of our souls during the voyage of this life, and she will guide you to the harbor of eternal salvation. Are you in sorrow? Turn to Mary, for her name means also Sea of Bitterness, which has been filled with sharp pain in this world, but which is now turned into a sea of the purest joy in heaven. And she will turn your sorrow to joy and your afflictions into consolation. Have you lost the state of grace? Praise and honor the numberless graces with which God has filled the Blessed Virgin, and say to her, Thou art full of grace, and filled with all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and she will give you some of these graces. Are you all alone, having lost God's protection? Pray to Mary, and say, The Lord is with thee, and this union is far nobler and more intimate than that which he has with saints and the just, because thou art one with him. He is thy Son, and his flesh is thy flesh. Thou art united to the Lord because of thy perfect likeness to him, and by your mutual love, for thou art his mother. And then say to her, The three persons of the Godhead are with thee because thou art the temple of the most blessed Trinity. And she will place you once more under the protection and care of Almighty God. Have you become an outcast, and have you been accursed by God? Then say to Our Lady, Blessed art thou above all women and above all nations. By thy purity and fertility thou hast turned God's maledictions into blessings for us, and she will bless you. Do you hunger for the bread of grace and the bread of life? Draw near to her who bore the living bread which came down from heaven, and say to her, Blessed be the fruit of thy womb, whom thou hast conceived without the slightest loss of thy virginity, whom thou didst carry without discomfort, and to whom thou didst give birth without pain. Blessed be Jesus, who has redeemed our suffering world when we were in the bondage of sin, who has healed the world of its sickness, who has raised the dead to life, brought home the banished, restored sinners to a life of grace, and who has saved men from damnation. Without doubt, your soul will be filled with the bread of grace in this life and of eternal glory in the next. Amen. Then, at the end of your prayer, pray thus with Holy Mother Church. Holy Mary, holy in body and in soul, holy because of thy incomparable and eternal devotion to the service of God, holy in thy great rank of Mother of God, who hast endowed thee with eminent holiness, a worthy attribute of this great dignity. Mother of God, and our Mother, our Advocate and Mediatrix, thou who art the treasurer of God's graces, and who dost dispense them as thou seest fit, all we beg of thee, obtain for us soon the forgiveness of our sins, and grant that we may be reconciled with God's infinite majesty. Pray for us sinners, thou who art always filled with compassion for those in need, thou who wilt never despise sinners or turn them away, for but for them thou wouldst never have been Mother of the Redeemer. Pray for us now, during this short life, so fraught with sorrow and uncertainty. Pray for us now, because we can be sure of nothing except the present moment. Pray for us now that we are being attacked night and day by powerful and ruthless enemies. Pray for us now and at the hour of our death, so terrible and full of danger, when our strength is waning and our spirits are sinking and our souls and bodies are worn out with fear and pain. Pray for us then at the hour of our death, when the devil is working with might and main to ensnare us and cast us into perdition. Pray for us at the turning point, when the die will be cast once and for all, and our lot forever and ever will be heaven or hell. Come to the help of thy poor children, gentle Mother of Pity, and O Advocate and Refuge of sinners, protect us at the hour of our death, and drive far from us our bitter enemies, the devils, our accusers, those whose frightful presence fills us with dread. Light our path through the valley of the shadow of death. Please, Mother, lead us to thy Son's judgment seat, and do not forsake us there. Intercede for us, and ask thy Son to forgive us, and let us into the ranks of the blessed, thy elect, in the realm of everlasting glory. Amen. So be it. No one could help admiring the beauty of the Holy Rosary, which is made up of two heavenly things, the Lord's Prayer and the Angelic Salutation. How could there possibly be any prayers more pleasing to Almighty God and the Blessed Virgin, or any that are easier, more precious, or more helpful than these two prayers? We should always have them in our hearts and on our lips to honor the Most Blessed Trinity, Jesus Christ our Savior, and His Most Holy Mother. In addition, at the end of each decade, it is very good to add a Gloria Patri, that is to say, Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Gloria Patri was a happy innovation in the recitation of the Rosary. It's quite probable that it can be attributed to St. Louis de Montfort himself. 21st Rose, the 15 Mysteries. A mystery is a sacred thing which is difficult to understand. The works of our Lord Jesus Christ are all sacred and divine because he is God and man at one and the same time. The works of the Most Blessed Virgin are very holy because she is the most perfect and the most pure of God's creatures. The works of our Lord and of his Blessed Mother can be rightly called mysteries because they are so full of wonders and all kinds of perfections and deep and sublime truths which the Holy Spirit reveals to the humble and simple souls who honor these mysteries. The works of Jesus and Mary can also be called wonderful flowers, but their perfume and beauty can only be appreciated by those who study them carefully and who open them and drink in their scent by diligent and sincere meditation. Saint Dominic has divided up the lives of our Lord and our Lady into 15 mysteries, which stand for their virtues and their most important actions. These are the 15 tableaux or pictures whose every detail must rule and inspire our lives. They are 15 flaming torches to guide our steps throughout this earthly life. They are 15 shining mirrors which help us to know Jesus and Mary and to know ourselves as well. They will also help light the fire of their love in our hearts. They are 15 fiery furnaces which can consume us completely in their heavenly flames. Our Lady taught Saint Dominic this excellent method of praying and ordered him to preach it far and wide so as to reawaken the fervor of Christians and to revive in their hearts a love for our Blessed Lord. She also taught it to Blessed Alan de la Roche, and said to him in a vision, "When people say 150 angelic salutations, this prayer is very helpful to them and is a very pleasing tribute to me. But they will do better still and will please me even more if they say these salutations while meditating on the life, death, and passion of Jesus Christ, for this meditation is the soul of this prayer." For in reality, the rosary said without meditating on the sacred mysteries of our salvation would be almost like a body without a soul, excellent matter, but without the form which is meditation, this latter being that which sets it apart from all other devotions. The first part of the rosary contains 5 mysteries. The first is the Annunciation of the Archangel Saint Gabriel to Our Lady. The second, the Visitation of Our Lady to her cousin, Saint Elizabeth. The third, the Nativity of Jesus Christ. The fourth, the Presentation of the Child Jesus in the Temple. And the Purification of Our Lady. And the fifth, the Finding of Jesus in the Temple among the doctors. These are called the joyful mysteries because of the joy which they gave to the whole universe. Our Lady and the angels were overwhelmed with joy the moment when the Son of God was incarnate. Saint Elizabeth and Saint John the Baptist were filled with joy by the visit of Jesus and Mary. Heaven and earth rejoiced at the birth of our Savior. Holy Simeon felt great consolation and was filled with joy when he took the Holy Child in his arms. The doctors were lost in admiration and wonderment at the answers which Jesus gave, and how could anyone describe the joy of Mary and Joseph when they found the child Jesus after he'd been lost for 3 days? The second part of the rosary is also composed of 5 mysteries, which are called the sorrowful mysteries, because they show us our Lord weighed down with sadness, covered with wounds, laden with insults, sufferings and torments. The first of these mysteries is Jesus' prayer and agony in the Garden of Olives. The second, his scourging. The third, his crowning with thorns. The fourth, Jesus carrying his cross. And the fifth, his crucifixion and death on Mount Calvary. The third part of the rosary contains 5 other mysteries, which are called the glorious mysteries, because when we say them, we meditate on Jesus and Mary in their triumph and glory. The first is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The second, his ascension into heaven. The third, the descent of the Holy Ghost upon the apostles. The fourth, Our Lady's glorious assumption into heaven. And the fifth, her crowning in heaven. These are the 15 fragrant flowers of the mystical rose tree. Devout souls fly to them like wise bees, so as to gather their nectar and make the honey of a solid devotion. 22nd Rose, Lichens to Christ. The chief concern of a Christian soul should be to tend to perfection. St. Paul tells us, "Be ye followers of God, as most dear children." This obligation is included in the eternal decree of our predestination as the one and only means prescribed by God to attain everlasting glory. St. Gregory of Nyssa makes a delightful comparison when he says that we are all artists and that our souls are blank canvases which we have to fill in. The colors which we must use are the Christian virtues, and our model is Jesus Christ, the perfect living image of God the Father. Just as a portrait painter who wants to do a good job places himself before his model and glances at him before making each stroke, so the Christian must always have the life and virtues of Jesus Christ before his eyes, so that he may never say, think, or do the least thing which is not in harmony with his model. It was because Our Lady wanted to help us in the great task of working out our salvation that she ordered St. Dominic to teach the faithful to meditate upon the sacred mysteries of the life of Jesus Christ. She did this not only that they might adore and glorify him, but chiefly that they might pattern their lives and actions upon his virtues. Children copy their parents through watching them and talking to them, and they learn their own language through hearing them speak. An apprentice learns his trade through watching his master at work. In the very same way, the faithful members of the confraternity of the Holy Rosary can become like their divine master if they reverently study and imitate the virtues of Jesus Christ, which are shown in the 15 mysteries of his life. They can do this with the help of his grace and through the intercession of his Blessed Mother. Long ago, Moses was inspired by God to command the Jewish people never to forget the graces which had been showered upon them. The Son of God then has all the more reason to tell us to engrave the mysteries of his life, passion, and death upon our hearts, and to have them always before our eyes, because each mystery reminds us of his goodness to us in some special way, and it is by these mysteries that he has shown us his overwhelming love and desire for our salvation. Our Lord is saying to us, "O all of you that pass by, pause a while and see if there has ever been sorrow like unto the sorrow which I've undergone for love of you. Be mindful of my poverty and of my humiliations. Think of the wine mingled with gall which I drank for you during my bitter passion." These words and many others which could be given here should be more than enough to convince us that we must not only say the rosary with our lips in honor of our Lord and our Lady, but also meditate upon the sacred mysteries while we're saying it. 23rd Rose, A Memorial. Jesus Christ, the divine spouse of our souls and our very dear friend, wishes us to remember his goodness to us and all his gifts, and wants us to prize them above all else. Whenever we meditate devoutly and lovingly upon the sacred mysteries of the Rosary, our Lord has an accidental joy, and so has Our Lady and all the saints in heaven. These mysteries are the most signal results of our Lord's love for us and the greatest presents that he could possibly give us, because it is by virtue of these presents that the Blessed Virgin herself and all the saints are in their glory in heaven. One day, Blessed Angela of Foligno begged our Lord to let her know by which religious exercise she could honor him best. He appeared to her, nailed to his cross, and said, "My daughter, look at my wounds." She then realized that nothing pleases our dear Lord more than meditation upon his sufferings. Then he showed her the wounds on his head and revealed still other sufferings to her and said, "I have suffered all this for your salvation. What can you ever do to return my love for you?" The holy sacrifice of the Mass gives boundless honor to the Most Blessed Trinity because it represents the passion of Jesus Christ, and because through the Mass we offer God the merits of our Lord's obedience, of his sufferings, and of his precious blood. The whole of the heavenly court also receives an accidental joy from the Mass. Several doctors of the Church, together with St. Thomas Aquinas, tell us that, for the same reason, all the blessed in heaven rejoice in the communion of the faithful, because the Blessed Sacrament is a memorial of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that by means of it men share in its fruits and work out their salvation. Now the Holy Rosary, recited together with meditation on the sacred mysteries, is a sacrifice of praise to God to thank him for the great grace of our redemption. It is also a holy reminder of the sufferings, death, and glory of Jesus Christ. It is therefore true that the Rosary gives glory, gives an accidental joy to our Lord, to our Lady, and to all the blessed, because they cannot desire anything greater or more contributive to our eternal happiness than to see us engaged in a practice which is so glorious for our Lord and so salutary for ourselves. The Gospel teaches us that a sinner who is converted and who does penance gives joy to all the angels. If the repentance and conversion of one sinner is enough to make the angels rejoice, how great must be the happiness and jubilation of the whole heavenly court, and what glory for our blessed Lord himself to see us here on earth meditating devoutly and lovingly on his humiliations and torments and on his cruel and ignominious death. Could anything possibly touch our hearts more surely than this, and be more calculated to inspire us to true and sincere repentance? A Christian who does not meditate on the mysteries of the Rosary is very ungrateful to our Lord and shows how little he cares for all that our divine Savior has suffered to save the world. This attitude seems to show that he knows little or nothing of the life of Jesus Christ, and that he has never taken the trouble to find out about him, what he did and what he went through in order to save us. A Christian of this kind ought to fear that, having never known Jesus Christ, or having put him out of his mind and heart, he will disown him at the day of judgment and will say reproachfully, "Amen, I say to you, I know you not." Let us then meditate on the life and sufferings of our Lord by means of the Holy Rosary. Let us learn to know him well and to be grateful for all his blessings, so that at the day of judgment he may number us among his children and his friends. 24th Rose, Means of Perfection. The saints always made our Lord's life the principal object of their study. They meditated on his virtues and sufferings, and in this way they arrived at Christian perfection. Once St. Bernard began his meditation, he always continued it. "At the very beginning of my conversion," he said, "I made a bouquet of myrrh made up of the sorrows of my Savior. I placed this bouquet upon my heart, thinking of the stripes, the thorns, and the nails of his passion. I used all my mental strength to meditate on these mysteries every day." This was a practice of the holy martyrs, too. We know how admirably they triumphed over the most cruel sufferings. St. Bernard says that the martyrs' wonderful constancy could have only sprung from one source, their constant meditation on the wounds of Jesus Christ. The martyrs were Christ's athletes, his champions. While their blood gushed forth and their bodies were racked with cruel torments, their generous souls were hidden in the wounds of our Lord. These wounds made them invincible. During her whole life, the Blessed Mother's chief concern was meditation on the virtues and sufferings of her Son. When she heard the angels sing their hymns of joy at his birth, and when she saw the shepherds adore him in the stable, her heart and mind were filled with wonder, and she meditated upon all these marvels. She compared the greatness of the Word incarnate to his deep humility and the way he lowered himself. She thought of him in his manger filled with straw, and then on his throne in heaven and in the bosom of his eternal Father. She compared the might of God to the weakness of a baby, and his wisdom to his simplicity. Let us continue with the 24th rose, the means of perfection, in the secret of the rosary, on side B.